heart, and we'll say, let's begin. So I want to share with you a really beautiful idea over here from the Rebbe, from Rabbi Nachman. And let's begin. So remember, again, we're picking up in the opening of Parshas Vayishlach. So the Torah speaks about the idea that Yaakov Avinu was preparing for the encounter with his brother, with Esav. And so remember, again, Chazal tells us that Yaakov Avinu prepares himself in three ways. He prepares himself with tefillah, with prayer, with daron, sending gifts to Esav, and milchama. And he also chooses to go ahead and prepare himself for the eventuality of war. Now, the truth is, when Yaakov prepares himself for war, what he really does is, he prepares himself, he knows that he is outmanned, and certainly, again, out-weaponed, if that's the right term, by Esav and his men. So the only strategy he has for war, the Torah says, is Vayira Yaakov Mo. This is in Parak Lamed Beis Pasachetz. Vayitzer Lo. Yaakov Avinu is exceptionally afraid. Vayachatz Es Ha'am Asher Ito. His chokhmah, his strategy is to split the camp. Split the camp into two. And this way, again, so the Torah says, I'll quote to you again, actually you have the pasuk. Vesatzon, Vesatzon, Vesabakavakamalushtei Machanos. So he splits everything up into two camps, and he says, Vayomer, Im Yavo Esav, Ela Machane Ha'achos, if Esav comes to one camp, then what? Then, Vihiko, and he strikes it, Vayamachane Hanishar Lifleto. Ultimately, again, he goes in and he says, if Esav strikes at one camp, the good news is that there'll be another camp that will be able to go ahead and escape. So, interestingly enough, when we say that Yaakov Avinu prepared himself for war, what it really means is he prepared himself ultimately to lose. Meaning, he figured there's no way I'm going to actually win this battle. There's no way I'm going to actually be able to go ahead and vanquish Esav. The most I could do is somehow stem my losses. Stem my losses. Therefore, again, I'll split the camp into two. If one takes a hit from Esav, the other one will have the opportunity. The other one will have the opportunity to go ahead and escape. So I want to share with you a beautiful idea. And I have to understand something. You know, we've, Baruch Hashem, I don't know, how long have we been learning Rabbi Nachman together for? A while already, no? Seems like a while. Okay, so, you know, whenever we speak... I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that, I'm sorry. So, you know, so whenever we learn the Rebbe's Torah, is it a year?
A year?
Good. So, you know, whenever we learn the Rebbe's Torah, so... You know, we always understand that the beauty of Rabbi Nachman and the beauty of what Rabbi Nachman is able to bring out is this idea that every single pasuk in the Torah has two dimensions. There's the stated dimension, there's ultimately, again, the stated narrative, but then there's always something deeper, there's always something more profound, and really, according to the Rebbe, there's always something timeless. The Rebbe sees, so even in the psukim that may look so ordinary, so mundane, and so, you know, not lemaisa, the beauty is that, and this is not just true of Rabbi Nachman, this is true in general, this was the derech of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the derech of Rabbi Yitzhak Abraditchev, this idea that Torah is timeless, so that even psukim themselves that you look at and say, oh, that's very interesting, but what's the lemaisa ramifications for me? I'd say maybe nothing. It's not true. Everything has a deeper lemaisa ramifications as well. So we'll say, I'm just going to tell you, this is going to change your life. So if you're happy with where you are and who you are, you could have some shalom and take it to go. You don't want to hear this. But of course, none of us are happy or content where we are. We all want to grow. This is why we need the same with the Rabbi Nachman. Look what the Rabbi says. I'm sorry. There's tinfoil in the kitchen. So take a look by paragraph A. So says Rabbi Nachman something so beautiful. So writes the Rebbe, he says, Vayachatz es ha'am asherito, v'asatzon l'shnei machanos, v'ayo ha'machana anisha l'fleito. So look at the Rebbe writes, paragraph A. Kisheroen shekasha lahasig ha'itza ha'shleima. So the Rebbe says, you know, sometimes in life, a person is supposed to have a vision of who they want to be, of what they want to be. I have a picture in my mind of the person I would like to become. We call that the Eitzah Shleima. That's ultimately, again, the goal. The goal, right? The person in an ideal world, who do I want to be? So Rebbe says, you know, sometimes what happens in life is we realize that it's challenging to go ahead and acquire or to live up to that Eitzah Shleima. Sometimes it's hard to go ahead and actually reach that finish line. It's hard to become that person that I envision. It's hard to become that complete individual. So what do I do? I say, and this, by the way, is an incredible statement by the Rebbe. Because what is the Rebbe saying? You know, Rav Soloveitchik talks about this as well, also in his discussions on Tshuva, where the Rav writes, he says, you know, man has these two images, what the Rav calls the empirical image and the real image. The Rav discusses this idea, there's this vision we have of ourselves, of the person I want to be, and this vision, and this, not this vision, but this reality of the person that I am. So often there is a gap in between those two images. The person I am is ultimately not the person I want to be. I just say parenthetically, if the person I am is the person I want to be, then what does that mean? Right, I've totally undersold myself, right? Meaning I've totally set the bar way too low. Meaning there should always be some type of disparity between the person I am and the person I want to be, because that disparity, that gap, represents my charge and my mandate for personal growth and self-actualization. But yet, something amazing happens. Sometimes there is such a gap in between what the Rebbe calls the Itza HaShlema, the person I want to be and the person I am. Sometimes when I recognize that that gap is so profound and so large and so gaping, that sometimes it's demoralizing. It's difficult when I feel that I'm so far away from the finish line, so far away from where I want to be in life. Sometimes it's overwhelming to the point that it actually engenders a defeatist attitude. So that's what the Rebbe is discussing. He says, "Kisheroi shekash lahasiga itzashlima." When a person sees that, you know what, it's really difficult to achieve that Eitz HaShlim, it's really difficult to get to that level of the person I really want to be. So what do? Tzrichim lehisnaig lefi chalukas ha'Eitz al kolponim. The Rebbe says, if you can't be the person you want to be in totality, listen to his lashon over here, a person at least has to try lefi chalukas ha'Eitz. Chalukas ha'Eitz means, if you can't make it all of the way, at least try to make it part of the way. What does this mean? Ba'ofen sha'al kopanim, yihye nishar lo machaneh ha'nishar lefleita, v'lo yihye ne'avad legamri chasam. So also listen to what the Rebbe says, and this is absolutely mind-blowing. The Rebbe understands Yaakov Avinu and his family as a metaphor for life. Yaakov Avinu is entering into the promised land. He's coming back into Eretz Yisrael. And what's the nature of the family? Everyone's together. It's a picture of shleimus. If you're Yaakov Avinu, how are you feeling right now? Life is perfect. Life is perfect. Baruch Hashem, I have my wives. Baruch Hashem, I have my kids. I'm coming back home. Remember again, we just go back to Parashas Yaakov Avinu. Wasn't sure, am I going to make it home? Not going to make it home. He's making it home. He's about to go back to his father's home. Everything is great. And then what happens? Esav happens. And we're going to discuss this. Esav happens. And Esav stands between him and getting back home. Esav stands between him and the Shleimus. There's an obstacle now in the roadway that is keeping Yaakov Avinu from accomplishing or from self-actualizing in the way that he truly desires. So what does Yaakov Avinu say? Yaakov Avinu says, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it intact to my father's home. So you know what I'll do? I'll divide the camps. Now what happens? Yaakov Avinu divides the camp. So what he says is, you know what? The whole mishpacha may not make it, but at least part of the mishpacha will. Says Rabbi Nachman, this becomes a metaphor for life. Sometimes in life, you can't totally get to where you want to get. Sometimes in life, you can't totally become the person you desire and you pine to be. So what do you do in those moments when you can't get to the finish line as you wanted it? What do you do in those moments when you can't become the person you so badly desire? So I'm going to say there are two options. What are the two options? Option number one, quit. Throw in the towel. If I can't be the way I want it to be, then what's the point in trying? But says the Rebbe, there's another option. The other option is vayachatz esa ama sherito, split the camp. Split the camp means what? Is a metaphor for salvage something. Salvage something. You can't have everything you want. You can't be totally the person you want to be right now. Okay, salvage something. Do something. Grow in some way. Look what the Rebbe says. Shelo yomar sheyelech v'yishan rachman alitzlan. Look at paragraph B. Haynu. So we know that Esav is the Yetzer Hara. You know, in Midrashic and Hasidic literature, so Esav is always a metaphor for the Yetzer Hara. Yaakov Avinu's encounter with Esav is not just over here an encounter of brothers, it's an encounter of good and evil. It's an encounter of Yaakov Avinu the Tzaddik, ultimately with Esav the Yetzer Hara. So it says Rebbe something amazing. Now what happens? Yaakov Avinu is traveling, he's going about his life, he's trying to grow, he's trying to self-actualize, and what happens? Esav is coming, the Yetzer Hara is there. And the Yetzer Hara is coming, and it's coming with 400 men. The Yetzer Hara is stronger than Yaakov. Esav is stronger than Yaakov. So what do you do in those moments when it appears that Esav, that the Yetzer Hara is stronger than the tzidkus, than the righteousness of Yaakov? So he says, Heinrich paragraph B, Kisharoa Adam Shai Yetzer Hara Miskaber Alav, Kimosha Miskaber, when a person sees that the Yetzer Hara is growing stronger, and then me, V'nid Malo Shein B'kocho La'amor K'naido Koroi, and I don't know if I could really stand up to the Yetzer Hara in the right way. And no matter how much I try to fight against the Yetzer Hara, I'm not being successful. You know, I say sometimes if you can't engage the Yetzer Hara directly and win, you know what you do? You split the camp. Sometimes if you can't win the war, you at least try to go ahead and salvage enough so that you could live to fight another day. If you can't defeat the Yetzer Hara in head-on conflict, in head-on battle, you split the camp and try to figure out different ways in which you can be victorious. He goes on. Sometimes in life, it's not about pulling out a complete victory, but it's about going in and figuring out how could I achieve even a partial victory? How could I go ahead and salvage even part of the camp? How could I some way stand up against the Yetzer Hara? And even if I can't totally become the person I yearn to be, how could I become at least a little bit better? Ani chazak, paragraph D, shelo enag nosuk achar legarmei Hashem Yisbarach. Even if I can't win the war against the Yetzer Hara, how can I make advances? How could I push myself forward? How could I accomplish something? Velo ayesh es atzmi li'olam. Because we want to say, see, you know what happens? Sometimes we're coming, going about our lives, I'm working towards that finish line, and I see Esav, and I see the Yetzer Hara, and he's staring me right in the eye. And you know what? He's so much stronger than me. He's so much more powerful than me. And you know what happens, Osai? When Esav looks me in the eye, when Esav, you know what he does? You know what he does? Right? He winks. Right? Why does he wink? He winks because he's like, Silver, we've been through this before. Right? You think you're going to fight me? You're not going to fight me. How many times have you come up to do battle? And every single time you lose. How many, really, we're gonna do this dance now again? You're gonna come, you're gonna fight me. You know you're gonna lose. And in those moments, it is so easy to give up. It is so easy to be miyayish. It is so easy just to throw it out and say, you know what, Yetzer Hara, Esav, you're right. I've tried to face you down so many times, and every single time I've fallen flat on my face. So you know what? I throw in the towel. Says Rebbe, no. A Jew never throws in the towel. A Jew is never miyayish. Instead, what do? Even if I say, Esav, you're right, Yetzer Hara, I can't totally vanquish you, but I'm going to figure out a way to move my life forward. I'm going to figure out a way to salvage something. I'm going to figure out a way to grow in some way. I'm going to try to go ahead and stand my ground to some degree. L'man yihyeh hamachaneh hanishar lefleito. And Yetzer Hara, even if you've had advances on me, even if you conquered me in the past, I'm not going to let that happen again. I recognize that I might not be able to fully defeat you. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to split the camp. Split the camp, says the Rebbe, is a metaphor for salvage something. You know what the Rebbe is saying? Well, let's go on a little bit. He says, L'mashal, sha'adam, so we'll say, he gives a mashal. Listen to the mashal. Adam chafet shilmot harbe, v'yisva harbe yisbodah. So we'll say, so what happens? I wake up in the morning and I say to myself, you know what? Today is going to be a day that I'm going to learn a lot of Torah. I'm going to learn a lot of Torah. And you know what? I'm going to daven with such kavana and his bodudus. And you know what? I want to live a holy day. I don't want to sin today. Hey, today, I'm making the Kabbalah. I don't want to sin. I don't want to commit any averos. And what happens? The Rosh Hashanah, and then I'll have Zabal say, then what happens? What happens? I get out of bed. That's what happens, right? I get out of bed. And already, like, this, I put my foot on the ground, and, like, it's downhill from there. Suddenly, again, I recognize that all of those, my davening is not what I wanted it to be. My learning was not what I wanted it to be. The nisyonos that I had yesterday that I thought were over are now right in front of me again. And I see that it's not easy. I as much as my intentions were so good and so pure when my head was on the pillow, I was so sure that it was going to be different, I find myself now bombarded by challenges. So what does the Rebbe say? What do you do in that moment? Yechazak b'daito. Be strong. Sha'al kopanim ma she'ucha lachtov b'chayibos. In other words, you know what the Rebbe says? Our greatest downfall in life is? We think often that life is an all or nothing thing. It's all or nothing. Ruchnius is either all or nothing. You're either a tzaddik or you're a rasha. You're either doing everything right or you're doing nothing right. And it's not true, says the Rebbe. Life is not like that. Life is not an all or nothing event. Life is not an all or nothing journey or endeavor. Sometimes in life, the challenges are intense and I can't be fully successful or as successful as I want to be. But in those moments when I can't be as successful as I want to be, my job is pull out some bit of success. Succeed in something. Make some kind of advance. So this morning I got up and I thought today is going to be the day I am conquering the Yetzer Hara. Today is the day I'm going to tell him he's no longer welcome in my life. Esav's no longer welcome in my heart, no longer welcome in my soul. I'm going to conquer him today. And it worked for about 3 minutes. And then he's back in my life. He's bombarding me. He's challenging me. He's tempting me. And you know what? I'm resisting a little bit, but I also am thinking certain things and I'm looking at, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Fine. I'm not going to conquer him like I thought I would. But how do I advance? How do I claim a little bit of victory? How can I be chotev? How can I grab something? In other words, if I can't march the whole family into the promised land, at least let me salvage a camp. At least let me salvage something. Pull out some smaller victory, even if I can't go ahead and achieve the entire victory. It's incredible. So, okay, my davening is not going to, break down the walls of Shemayim. Fine, pull out something. Right? Do something. I am going to endeavor to try to pull out some good from today. Maybe it's not going to be as good as I thought it would be. Maybe I'm not going to accomplish as much as I thought I would, but I'm going to attempt to somehow pull some good out of this day. Let's say again, I had in mind to daven with Kavana, and then it turns out that, you know what, for some reason, I don't daven at all. I can't daven at all, whatever that means. I don't daven at all. Look what the Rebbe says. So my intention was daven with Kavana. And you know what? I didn't even end up davening at all. So says the Rebbe, what do you do in that case? Just speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Rebbe says, even speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling out some kind of victory. You see, the Rebbe says, you understand Rebbe says the godlessness. Sometimes we think if we don't do it in the best way, then there's no point in trying at all. It's not true, at least not in the realm of ruchnius, in the realm of spirituality. Even if you can't get the victory you want, sometimes you have to pull out the victory that you could hold on to. So I wanted to daven with Kavana, but it didn't work. Speak to God, says the Rebbe. At least if I speak to God, there's a dialogical connection. Ultimately, I'm pulling out some victory. So, and if for some reason I can't speak to God, Esav's preventing me from doing that. I'm going to learn a little bit. Or, at least in my heart, I'm going to yearn to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or at least I'm going to yell out to God, God, help me, Davin. Help me. What the Rebbe is saying is that sometimes we can't do the things we want to do. We can't be the people we want to be. I can't have the victory I want. If you can't have the victory you want, at least try to create another smaller, more modest victory for yourself. V'matzasi, turn the page. V'matzasi, paragraph G. Chalukah. So I'll say, ultimately, again, if I'm not sure, should I undertake a particular endeavor or not? Should I stay in my home, travel? And the Rebbe says, we'll say this is true with so many other things in life. And it's so true that it's impossible to go through the entire list. What's the entire list? He says, V'haya hamachane hanishar lifleita. Everything in life is about, Yaakov Avinu says, you know, Yaakov Avinu set out on his journey to come into Eretz Yisrael, he had a vision for how this journey was going to look. The journey was going to be the complete family intact, marching into Eretz Yisrael, going back to Yitzchak Avinu's house. Then what happens? Esav comes along. The Yitzhara comes along, and the journey can no longer go ahead and progress as planned. We'll say the ultimate metaphor for life. We begin with a beautiful vision about what life is going to be. And then what happens? Esav, the Yitzhara, right? Challenges, difficulties, temptations, pushes and pulls, all the different things. So when I look, see Esav approaching, and he's coming, and he's encroaching on my spirituality, my holiness, on my goodness, on my plan, I could yield, I could just simply give in, or I could say, you know what, split the camp, salvage something. If I can't get into the promised land the way that I wanted to, at least let me pull out some small victory, ultimately, again, from life. He says, V'chol zeh b'chinos v'haya hamach aner hanisha lefleito. V'zeh shepirei shashi bal karcho ke'elachim imo. Ki bazeh ani chazak shebal karcho yeh mukhrach l'anichemi shiyeh nishar li alka upon hamach aner hanisha lefleito. Because at least Yaakov Avinu was telling us that, you know what, you might not be able to defeat the Yitzhahara in his entirety, but you can make sure that he can't defeat you in your entirety either. If you split the camp, if you spend your life not just giving in and throwing in the towel when you can't have what you wanted, but you try instead to pull out even the smaller accomplishments from life, says the Rebbe, one could be wildly successful. Again, perhaps not in the ideal image, perhaps not what the Rebbe said as what we call the Eitzah HaShalema. Rebbe will say, you know, sometimes in life, it's better to have some small victory, even if it's not the victory you had planned for, than no victory at all. Says Rebbe, that's the take-home message, ultimately, again, of Yaakov Avinu. And that's the great Musar of the Pasha. We'll say, I would just be Mosif one last thing, and then we'll stop. But I will tell you, you know, Rav Soloveitchik makes an amazing observation. The Rav writes that, you know, here the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu was going to split the camp. But you know what's fascinating to note? If you look in the Pesukim, he doesn't end up splitting the camps. Right? It's quite fascinating. The camps don't end up getting split. Meaning, Lemais, again, what ends up happening? Why is that? Because remember, again, Yaakov Avinu was fighting with the Malach. He was fighting with the Ish the whole night. He was preoccupied with the battle and therefore was actually unable at the end of the day to split the camps. Rav Soloveitchik posits that the reason for that is because the Ribbono Shel Olam was trying to tell Yaakov, don't split the camps. Ribbono Shel Olam told Yaakov, splitting the camps is a quasi-admission of defeat. Don't admit defeat. So what I would say is the following. So I think we could combine the Rav and Rabbi Nachman. to perhaps say the following. The approach to life can never be to split the camps. The initial approach to life is victory. Because remember, if you begin life with a Bidi Eved plan for victory, remember again, you're already settling for Bidi Eved. Life has to begin with a Lechatchila model. The day has to begin with, what is the ideal image for what I'm going to accomplish today? Who do I want to become today? It's today, it's over this lifetime, what is my image? And we'll say, all of us have to have that. We have what the Rebbe calls the Eitz Shlema. You know, you have to be able to close your eyes and to be able to envision who is the person, who is the ideal image of what I want to be? The ideal me. What does the ideal me look like? What midos does he possess? What character traits does he possess? What are his accomplishments? How does he deal with failure? How does he remedy his shortcomings? What kind of person? What kind of father? What kind of spouse? What kind of friend? What kind of son? All these different things. I will say it's so important to have that image. And every single day, what's the life I want? I will say, ever wonder about this? You know, so often we work so hard to accomplish different things. But you know, if somebody were to ask us, like, at the end of the day, at 120, what's your metric for determining that you have lived a successful life? Meaning, what do you need to accomplish between now and 120 to be successful? Listen, it's a very scary question to ask because most of us don't really have the answers. Or, if we do have the answers and we actually say them out loud, they sound a bit hollow. Right? So meaning, if my goal is to make X, or my goal is to buy X, or to accomplish X, whatever that is, that's it. That's my goal. I mean, It's nice. They might be all be good things, but is that the tachlis? That's the reason I'm in this world? Suppose a person has to have this image. What do I want to be? Who do I want to be? And it has to be a lechatchila dika image. That's how you have to start your life. And that's in reality, I have to start every single day. But then what inevitably happens is my ideal image gets bombarded by reality. I begin on the journey of the day and I don't take 3 steps. And Esav is there with 400 men and he's surrounding me. He's taking out his stars. And Yetzer Hara is so strong and he's relentless and he never stops and he never lets up. So what happens? I realize in that moment that perhaps the ideal image for me and for life may not actualize the way I had wanted it to. But I can't give up in that moment. I don't bend my knee before Esav. Instead, what do? I split the camp. Splitting the camp is essentially pull out the victories you can. Figure out the accomplishments you can. Figure out how to make smaller advances in life, even though they're not the ideal or the great advances that you had originally wanted. And we'll say that's the yisod, ultimately, of Yaakov Avinu, and that's the yisod of the Rebbe. An incredible, incredible Moshe. So we should be zocha. Let's say really on both of these levels. A, to have that beautiful image of who we want to be, of what we want life to be, what the Rebbe calls Eitzah Shleima. But when that image gets bombarded, or when that image, there are so many obstacles to actualizing it, let us have the koach of Yaakov Avinu to split the camp and to be able to achieve smaller advances, smaller accomplishments each and every day.
Some would say that there's no between a Rav Soloveitchik and the Rebbe.
Somebody would say that's what?
Some would say there's no